back to the Hollow Sky podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
It's Monday Hollow Cold, so you know what that means. We're back to hang out with you through your work week because you've chosen us to get you through it. And today, coming in with another 40 and 50, today we are in Georgia. Good old Georgia. I think I'm going to try to do one of these once a month to kind of get through them. I know some people want me to hit certain states, so I'm going to try to chomp through them a little bit quicker than I have been. And on that note, we're going to Georgia. Georgia's weird. It's a weird place.
Good.
Had my UFO encounter there. Might talk about that a little bit later. We'll see what happens. But before we get there, we got to get through the business. If you're new here and you want to hang out with us, you haven't been here before, we go through some stuff at the beginning of the show before we get into the meat of the show. If you're not into that, you'll want to fast forward about 6 minutes in and you'll find us there where we're getting into it. If not, hang out, hear about some stuff. It's cool. If you're not new here, welcome back. Glad to have you. That being said, check us out at all our social medias. You know where they are. I'm not going to go through them. Search up the Hollow Sky podcast and you'll find us there. Come join the community, join the cult. It's a cool thing to do. It's a lot of fun. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share with us and the rest of the Hollow Cult, Kyle's got some info for you.
I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out as much detail as you possibly can. You can even record yourself. Either way, as much detail, shoot that over to the email. We'll make you famous. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
That's how it works. It's automatically famous. You can't go wrong.
No, it's what we do.
It's what we do. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon. You can go over there, search that up. It's in the show notes and all the link tree and all that stuff. See what kind of goodies we got going on there. If there's a tier that wets your whistle, we appreciate all of you. I've already made it over there. All of you thinking about going over there, we appreciate it. HollowSkyPodcast.com. We got a little merch tab over there where you can go and check out some of our merch stuff. We've got shirts and hats and stickers and stuff over there. You can go and check that out. The best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. It's free. It's easy. Anytime you see the show, you just share the link, go to the YouTube, subscribe, all that stuff. Comments all helps us out pushing through the algorithm. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And if I find them, I'll shout you out for the week. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Ryan on Spotify. Ryan says, "When I started listening to y'all's podcast, I was living in a pantry at the worst time of my life. Y'all got me through some hard times, and now we are here for the good times." Well, Ryan, first off, thank you for kicking it with us for that long. I feel like we've been through it. We've been through some crazy stuff together if you've been here since the beginning.
Yeah. Sometimes you guys help us get through shit and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. We appreciate you, Ryan. We're glad you've stuck around with us. And
we're glad you're doing better.
That's funny that we hit that at the same time.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing better.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Another way you can support the show is by supporting our wonderful sponsors, which you will hear from right about now. Hey, Hollow Cult, did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at mood.com. Hey, Hollow Cult. We're right into the new year, and if you're like me, you're in the mindset of wanting to get healthier. But I feel like I'm just guessing as to which habits actually matter for me specifically. I don't know which supplements to buy, which vitamins to take, or which workout trends I should be following. It's easy to get overwhelmed at the thought of it all. But this is where True Diagnostic comes in. True Diagnostic helps you find the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference for you, and which ones you might be wasting your money, time, and energy on. If you're spending money on supplements, workouts, and wellness trends, it's worth knowing what is actually going to move the needle for you. With True Diagnostic, you can choose your test. With True Age, it measures your biological age versus your chronological age and your current pace of aging. It also gives you your top three aging actions that you can take to slow or reverse aging. With True Health, it tests 105 plus biomarkers, including vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and fatty acids to understand your body system's health right now. It focuses on energy, metabolism, inflammation, and nutrient status today and gives you your top three health actions to work on for the next 90 days. Or for your best value, you can get the combo kit, which combines the True Age and True Health tests in one package. It shows you how fast you're aging and how healthy you are right now and gives you both three aging actions and three health actions to work on each quarter. The process and experience is simple. Order online and the kit ships right to your door. It's quick, simple finger prick at home, then drop it in the prepaid return package. Your only job, follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. True Diagnostic is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, our listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code HOLOSKY at checkout. That's truediagnostic.com and use code HOLOSKY for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the combo kit as a one-time purchase or a subscription. And just like that, we are back, Hollow Cult. Welcome. Welcome. Going to chime in today with another episode of the 40 and 50. What was last time? Yeah, last was Florida. So now we're at Georgia. That's right. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
We're rolling into Georgia. Got some weird stuff here, kind of all over the place. So it's pretty cool. Got some cryptid stuff, got some UFO stuff, got some conspiracy stuff, got some Santeria possible voodoo stuff. I know those are two different things, but anyway. Yeah, going to get right into it with the legend of the Oogles of Tallulah Gorge.
That doesn't sound like it's from Willy Wonka.
The Oogles of Tallulah Gorge. So I have the lore of it, and then I found a person who experienced it. So we're gonna double it down here. So, long before hikers traced the rim of Tallulah Gorge, before the falls echoed off of any steel bridges built, the Cherokee spoke of small hidden beings who lived deep within the caves and caverns of Tallulah Gorge. Creatures they called Oogles. The Oogles were said to be no taller than a child's knee, with skin shimmering like river-polished stone, and eyes as bright as quartz crystals. They moved with quick steps that not unlike a salamander, and they could climb the sheer granite walls of the cliff faces with ease. Here's what set them apart the most. It was their voices, soft bell-like murmurs that blended in with the hiss of the waterfalls. Old stories tell of that the Oogles were guardians of the gorge's balance. They tended to moss beds, nudged fallen branches into the streams, and kept night creatures from venturing too close to the edge of the cliffs. The Cherokee called them the whisperers of the water, for they believed that the Oogles could speak to the river itself. Lore goes that one winter, when the moon was shining through the thick clouds, a great roar arose from the deepest part of the gorge. The river had swelled beyond to a higher level than anyone could remember, and the waters threatened to tear apart a narrow stone bridge that the Oogles built to cross between their homes. Fearing devastation, the Oogles gathered at the base of the falls, led by their eldest, an ancient, nearly translucent creature named Irulu. They performed an old forgotten chant. The sound rose out of the mist, wrapped itself around the crashing current, and soothed it until the waters fell back into their ordinary banks. But the effort drained Irulu, who turned into stone beneath the cooling spray. Heartbroken, the Oogles carried her up a hidden path and placed her along the edge that overlooks every waterfall. They say that the rock formation still sits there today, one shaped almost like a curled child. It's Irulu's resting form. Sightings and signs of the Oogles. To this day, visitors claim strange things, such as pebbles gently rolling uphill on windless days, mist swirling in small spirals that move against the current, soft tinkling sounds heard near the falls when no one else is around. Locals say these are signs of the Oogles going about their work, guarding the gorge, tending to the moss, and whispering to the waters. So as I was searching that, I found a Reddit account that kind of leads into the Oogles claim.
I like the Googles.
I was Googling the Oogles.
Hell yeah.
So this is from Reddit. Here in Georgia, we have a gorge up in the mountains called Tallulah Gorge. It's a beautiful place ripe with history and culture, with stories dating back to long before Christopher Columbus days. The Cherokee primarily hung out up in the North Georgia Appalachians. So here's a legend from them. Apparently, the Oogles are miniature people, not dwarfs. They have the same dimensions as a regular person, just scaled down. Native Americans hardly went into the gorge because A, it's sheer granite on all sides with the raging river running below it. B, they would have rocks lobbed at them from up on the cliffs. I've heard of Sasquatches doing this, but the natives believed that these were the Oogles. They supposedly had settlements of sort built out in the forest around the gorge, and my dad thinks he found one. When he was a young lad around 13, he was staying with his grandma in a town up near the gorge. He knew there was an area, or he knew this area like the back of his hand. He still does now. He caught wind that something had been found out in the woods. He didn't get much more context than that, but it being a small town in the 70s meant he didn't have much better to do than to go check it out. He hiked for around 15 minutes out into the woods and eventually got into a clearing. There was a little town set up. There was a small farm, small buildings, tools, chairs, all the usual sort of things. Said it all looked like a homemade camp of sort, but all the things were exactly half of the size that they would be if normal humans used them. Half-size axes, half-size chairs, even the doorways into the buildings were half-sized. He left after exploring the grounds for a while and was never able to find it again. I'm interested if you guys have heard anything similar to this. It's up near the gorge. I'm not sure if it's related to the Oogles or not, is what they said. So, anyone up in the Tallulah Gorge area, any hollow cult up there in the Georgia area, have heard of the Oogles or seen an Oogle village or have even made it to the falls in Tallulah Gorge, send us some pictures. See if you can find the Irulu's statue. Put some boots on the ground.
It'd be pretty rad to see a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. It'd be like weird.
It'd be weird to see the pebble rolling uphill on a windless day.
Yeah.
Even a windy day would be fucking bizarre.
Yeah. How fast does the wind have to be blowing to blow rocks uphill?
That's what I'm saying.
You'd be in a tornado.
And then the scene of the village and stuff, it is reminiscent of my episode that I'll be doing. And then also, like, it has very, like, fae-like vibes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because you hear people wandering out in different areas of the world and finding gnome villages, fae villages, very fae-ish.
It is a staple of what happens in my episode.
That's weird that it happened to...
It is weird.
This always happens. It's synchronicities.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know what I would do if I was out in the woods just traipsing around mushroom hunting or whatever the fuck, and I find a little half-life village.
Be awesome.
Yeah, I would be sus because I'd fall into a fairy ring.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta take the good with the bad, man.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't. You just accept it.
If they offer you food, are you going to eat it?
Probably.
Fuck yeah. I think that's the best way to get disappeared.
As long as it's decent food.
I think that's the A number one thing you're not supposed to do with fairies is take food from them.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But if it's good.
You're not supposed to tell them your name either.
Nah. We're on the internet. They'll figure it out.
That's true.
I already know.
You think they got ChatGPT?
Probably. They probably the ones that created it.
Good point.
AI is very, it's fae-i is what it is.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But.
That's copyrighted term, so fuck off.
Kyle's a fae lord. He owns that.
That's true. Those are my people.
Yeah. If you need to battle tiny fae-like creatures in the forest, what better way to do it than with a raptor?
Hell yeah.
Like the dinosaur.
Bro, fuck a raptor. Fuck a raptor.
So this is...
Well, Jurassic Park raptors.
Yeah.
Because that's the ones we think of.
Yeah.
But what other depictions have them basically as like large chickens?
Tiny birds.
I'll kick a fucking chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
No disrespect to chickens, but you try to bite me, I'm gonna hit you.
Yeah. I think a group of fae could take on a group of tiny raptors.
That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. So
fae versus chickens.
Yeah. Mouthful of teeth chickens.
Be awesome.
This particular encounter I found on the Wayback Machine. The original website it was on doesn't exist anymore, so you have to go back and find it.
Nice.
So it's OG stuff here, which I stumbled onto via Reddit and then searched it back. So the Georgia raptor is a troodontid-like creature. Troodonte is what the scientific term for what we think, well, not what we think of raptors. When we say raptors, we think of the raptors in Jurassic Park, but these are the ones that are like 2 feet tall. So the ones that Kyle's thinking about.
They're not very scary.
The punting raptors.
Yeah.
Said to have been sighted.
Like fighting a goose then, right?
Yeah, but with claws and teeth. And
I still win.
Way more angry than... Well, I don't know. Gooses. Geese are dicks.
Yeah, I still fight one if I had to.
A goose?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
I'm not scared of him.
Fun fact, Everett used to be terror. We went fishing one time and this goose chased him around the lake and he has been terrified of geese like ever since.
I mean, that's understandable. You know, childhood trauma and all.
You got PTSD. Geese TSD. But anyway, July 25th.
He's a war vet.
July 25th, 2008. An 18-year-old man and his grandfather were hunting deer at night in Georgia when they saw an animal, which they described closely as resembling, quote, a raptor from the popular Jurassic Park movie. So this is the big ones. It suggested that it may have actually been a troodontid, a raptor sighting in Georgia. Wow, and this is the, is this the actual encounter? Yeah, right here. This happened to me and my grandpa on a hunting trip in July of 2008. I don't see my grandpa very often, so I always take the chance to take trips with him. My grandpa's pretty much an outdoorsman and enjoys hunting and fishing and just being out in nature. Grandpa and I were out in the woods. It was around 3 to 3:30 o'clock on Friday, the 25th of July. I was 18 at the time. We were on my grandpa's land in Georgia. It's a pretty place with the typical Georgia woodland and a few grassy plains. We were walking on a little rocky road heading for a site where grandpa often sees deer. As normal, there were a lot of sounds going on in the woods. We ignored most of them and remained quiet, not to scare anything away. Suddenly, we heard an unusual noise that we'd never heard before on our mini hunting trips. Grandpa looked at me and listened. Then he raised his finger in front of his mouth to show me that we shouldn't be making any more movements. I heard a lot of movement and then more of the noise. I can't really describe what it sounds like, but I sure can describe what I saw, even though it was pretty dark that morning. We just kept listening to the sounds as suddenly something came walking slowly out of the bushes and into the road, maybe 150 yards ahead of us. My eyes got really big, and at that moment, I wasn't even scared. I was just amazed at what I was looking at. We didn't move, and as crazy as it sounds, it looked just like a raptor from the Jurassic Park movies. I just froze because I thought things that lived like this millions of years ago didn't exist today. It had a long, stiff tail, walked on 2 feet, had short front arms, and it looked lizard-like. It had huge claws on both of its feet and similar claws on its arms. Since the creature appeared to us that it could run fast, we decided not to move at all. It raised its head in the air, and it seemed like it was smelling. I estimated its height to be around 5 feet at the shoulders. After sniffing the air, it made those sounds again and turned around and sprinted off into the bushes. Grandpa and I waited until we felt safe again and then quickly made our way back to the truck and drove home. In the truck, we talked to each other about what we had seen and decided not to tell Grandma because she would think we were crazy. I never believed in stuff like ghosts and creatures and the paranormal. I still don't believe in ghosts, but since that encounter, I believe in creatures that science doesn't know about. That's my story. As odd as it sounds, I know what I saw.
Fuck that thing.
That would be the worst.
Bro, you're talking like an almost 6 foot raptor, like Jurassic Park style raptor. Of course that thing's fast.
Oh, yeah. And he keeps talking about the sounds. All I can think about is the sounds they make in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You can't hide from them. They can open doors.
Yeah. We're not doing that. I'm not trying to fight a raptor.
No, not a 6 footer.
No. I'll do chicken raptor.
You got it.
No, like people raptor.
How many chicken raptors do you think you can get through?
Probably quite a few.
Yeah. Eventually the numbers would be overwhelming.
Yeah. Especially if I get mad.
Yeah.
Like if I get mad, like when I'm mad, I just accept loss of life at that point. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
Fight or flight just turns into fight and die.
That's the hollows guy way. Just fight and die.
What if you have a bow staff?
Oh, dude, I'm fucking them up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you can get through quite a few.
Yeah. As Shane Gillis would say, I'm going to wear them out.
Yeah. I might not get all of them, but I'm going to get some of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without question. Man, I'd be like Donatello in that motherfucker.
I just see you like just spinning it like a lawnmower blade, just walking through. It's weird because when I'm going through these looking for stuff, the internet's trash anyway. Wow. So like I'm looking for the specific state I'm looking in and it'll give me like a whole bunch of things from other states. There are a lot of fucking dinosaur sightings.
That sucks.
Which is wild.
I don't want dinosaurs.
I need to just do a whole episode on goddamn dinosaurs.
I agree.
Because, yeah, just looking up the Georgia shit, not in Georgia, but other things that brought up were like fucking T-Rexes. I know we talked about T-Rexes in Texas.
Yeah.
Pterodactyls and shit. Like
those seem, if I had to guess, those are probably the most common.
Pterodactyls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that'd be just the easiest.
Still fucked.
If you see a big bird in the sky, it'd be easy to mistake for a pterodactyl. You ain't mistaking shit for a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No. Or a 6-foot raptor.
No. You see a Tyrannosaurus Rex and you know, you're not like, maybe
that's a buffalo.
Maybe it's a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
No, it's a Tyrannosaurus fucking Rex.
Yeah.
There ain't no this stands or buts about it.
You're not bypassing that.
No.
I wonder if it would stand true that you just don't move and then it won't eat you. You taking your chances with that?
Well, I should look at me. I ain't outrunning it. That's for goddamn sure.
Fucking true.
That's the only chance I got, bro.
I feel that.
Turn into a tree.
Yeah, I feel that.
That would be, thinking about their encounter, that would be so terrifying just to see that thing walk out and know that it's smelling you.
Yeah.
That's the first thing in my head. As soon as it starts smelling, I'm like, fuck.
We're fucked.
Here we go.
The only positive side is that I would assume they had firearms.
Yeah, I think so too, since they were deer hunting.
Yeah. So they might have had a chance, but boy, would it be a slim one.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a good chance.
Numbers game.
Yeah.
They got two. But think about how they hunted in packs in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. If it's side swipes, you just got to be like, clever girl.
Yeah. Life finds a way. So the one that you see, there were probably six around them.
That just would waiting. Suck so bad.
Just waiting.
Because I know what I would. I wouldn't even think about that in the moment. I would just be like, I'm going to shoot this one.
Yeah, I would be so locked on this that one. This
one's done.
Everybody around me.
Then I just get sideswiped.
Yeah, everybody's around me getting eaten while I'm just watching this one.
Yeah. You shoot it. You're like, oh, I got it. And then I'm already gone.
Who wins? 6-foot raptor versus 9-foot Sasquatch.
Probably Sasquatch. Because the raptor's got to get in close.
Yeah.
Got no distance. And once it gets close, yeah, them claws. I mean, if it, I don't know. The Bigfoot's got to, I think they both have an equal chance because if that raptor gets them claws in the gut like a cat would.
Yeah. I think it depends on the encounter. If the raptor has the element of surprise, like Bigfoot's got no prep, I think the raptor takes it.
Yeah. Bigfoot can also turn trees into baseball bats.
That was going to be my next point. Bigfoot can use weapons.
Yeah.
If Bigfoot's ready, raptor fucks up the sneak attack, I'm leaning Squatch.
Yeah.
Squatch home can run. Just grab that tail and use it as a bat.
Big goddamn Mark McGuire out there.
Yeah. Very, very Bigfoot Bonds.
Just roided to the max.
Chime in the chat. Chime in the comments. Who do you think would win? 6-foot Velociraptor versus, or I'm not, 6-foot Raptor, Utah Raptor, whatever. Whatever's a big Raptor is versus 9-foot.
Sam Squatch.
Alpha Squatch.
It's a tough one, man.
Yeah. We're going to get into some alien abduction because everybody loves that.
Well, yeah, it's like our favorite thing.
And this one's weird. If you guys don't listen to Preston Dennett, go over and check him out on YouTube. The dude has literally every alien abduction case you could possibly think of on the planet. Nice. He's got a little YouTube channel over there where he just kind of puts them together based on subject matter, and he just looks up the information, reads it off to you. It's just chill. It's fucking weird. It's great. That's where this encounter comes from, and I'm calling it Alien Abduction Games.
That sucks.
A boy with the pseudonym of Peter is from Georgia. He's 10 years old. Reports having contact with gray-like beings since the age of 4 or 5, starting in the mid-1980s. He said that they're lizard-like in appearance. They have dark blue skin, large heads, no ears, small mouths, long slanted yellow eyes, little necks, long arms that reach past their knees. When he was asked what their hands looked like, he drew pictures of them. They had 5 long fingers on each hand. In his interviews, he states that they are skinny and bony, especially about the ribs. When he is being abducted, he says that there are 5 of them. They all look the same. They're all the same height, except for one, who's just a little bit taller than the others. He said that they are both male and female. He said, but the taller one, he thought, was the leader, because this one would be the one that kind of instructed him what to do. He said that the taller one would tap him on the shoulder and point to where he wanted him to go. He said that they communicated with each other through weird sounds, clicks, and chirps that he couldn't understand, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
The clicking is disgusting.
Yeah, why is that? And that's like a real trope that we have in projection of aliens, like when we put them in movies and stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if it's from their mouth not being mobile. You know what I mean? But they can communicate telepathically.
Yeah, so why do you need to do all that?
I don't know. Sucks.
It's probably just to freak us out.
Yeah, make it way more scary.
Yeah.
They never scared Peter. He actually said, quote, they are really nice.
Oh.
Which
didn't
is
expect that.
Something that I feel like a child would say.
Because they also have like a resemblance of like if a gray and a reptilian had a kid.
Yeah. It's gross.
It is disgusting.
He said that they would take him from his house, from his bedroom, or while he was playing outside with his friends. When he would be abducted, almost every time he was taken to the exact same place. He called it the library. It was a huge oval room that was full of books. He said one half of the room was filled with books in English. The other half of the room were filled with books in languages he didn't understand. So, you know, being a 5-year-old, that could have been French, or that could have been some kind of astronomical language that nobody knows about. But he said when he got there, there was a bench in the middle of the library and there were 2 rooms off to the side. One of them was lit up in white. One of them was lit up in yellow. He can only ever remember being in the library room. He said that they would let him go and read any book he wanted off the side that was in English. He said most of the books were about the earth. They were about the environment, about nature. And he would just sit there and kind of read through these things. On a few occasions, these entities would give him weird puzzle games and sit there and watch him solve these puzzles. He said they were like Rubik's Cubes, but they were different. Like each side had a different puzzle on it he had to put together. And they would sit there and they would watch him do this, almost like testing his problem-solving skills.
It's like the alien gate program.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, this is fucking weird. He said his onboard encounters usually lasted for an hour or two. But this is where it gets really different than other types of encounters that we hear of. Instead of missing time, it's almost like he has extra time because he's on the ship for like 2 hours. But in real life, he's only gone for minutes. When he's abducted, hanging out with his friends literally think that he just goes to the bathroom or went on for a drink of water and comes back. That's how long he's gone. But in the realm that they take him, he's there for such a long time, for hours.
That's terrifying.
It's almost like a dream state. Like when you dream something so vividly for like hours and hours and hours and you wake up and it's only been 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Shit's crazy. Crazy.
I don't like it.
No, it's almost scarier than missing time.
Yeah, I agree. And it reminds me so much of like when you've talked about the daytime abductions.
The Sam the Sandown Clown. Yeah. Whenever Sam took that girl, which is odd because it's also a child, whenever he took her in the second encounter to the Sam realm, her friends didn't even notice.
Right.
Which is shitty.
Not cool.
Not cool. Peter goes on to talk about one time when he was abducted. He was actually kind of angry. He was out playing water guns with his buddies, and they just zapped him right out from the middle of the water gun fight. He gets into the room, into the library, and he remembers he still has his water gun in his pocket. So he pulls it out and he squirts the tall one, just playing around. He said it began shrieking and it ran into the yellow room. He said it was in there for a few minutes and it came back and it was not happy. It was pissed. So he had to like explain to him like, hey, I didn't mean any harm. I'm just like, this is what we do. This is having fun. And I guess it went fine, because Peter later goes on to talk about his contacts, how they were benevolent. They were super friendly. He, quote, said they are real nice. Unfortunately, Peter's mother had also been suffering from multiple alien abductions that she never talked to her child about. But she talked about them in a whole different light. She was absolutely terrified by her encounters, wanted nothing to do with them, said that they were using her as, quote, a baby factory.
Oh, no.
So it makes you wonder if Peter might be a...
It might be a reason why they're so nice to him.
Mm-hmm. Might just be checking out, make sure...
That might be the love familia.
Yeah, make sure that the experiment's going all good. During the interview... Keep in mind, again, Peter's 10, so this thought process is kind of wild. They ask Peter why he thought that the aliens were coming to Earth and abducting people. And Peter said he, quote, believes the ET agenda is all about trying to save the planet and other planets like ours from destruction.
Yeah, he's definitely an alien-human hybrid.
Yeah. I never said ET agenda when I was 10 years old.
No.
And I was a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. That's no, you're an alien, dude.
100% an alien.
Yeah.
Crazy. Mom's uses a baby factory. He's an alien gate program.
It's the fucking worst.
Wild.
I would just burn the inside of the UFO out.
Yeah, the whole library.
Yeah. And why is it matched up so closely with Signs?
I don't know. I think Signs.
Remember in Signs they had water all over the house and shit?
Yeah. They
don't like water?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a real thing. They don't like water.
I don't know. I'll throw some at them if I see them.
I'm like, damn, we're homies. I don't like water either, man. That shit's scary.
maybe it's because it's a La Familia.
And they're like, here, come in this yellow room.
Yeah, come to the non-water room.
Yeah.
All right, so we go straight from alien abduction to possible ritualistic animal sacrifice.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes. Could people practicing Santeria be dumping headless goat carcasses in the Chattahoochee River? This comes from the Channel 2 Action News' website, who did a whole story on this in 2021, somewhere around there. It's not old. From Atlanta, Channel 2 Action News is investigating headless goats found floating in the Chattahoochee River. And I'm not talking about two goats, bro. Someone has dumped hundreds of decapitated goats over the last few years. Channel 2's Dave Huddleston cruised up the Chattahoochee River with Jason Olseth, who works for the environmental group, the Chattahoochee River Keepers. So this news anchor just went out to ride on the boat with this guy to do an interview. As they approached the Interstate 20 bridge near Fulton County and Cobb County border, Olseth looks over and says, "There's a goat." Channel 2 found a headless goat in the river, and then they found another, and then they found another. Lately, it's become a lot more frequent, quote, "And on Friday, we were out there, and we saw 30 of them floating down the river."
Jesus.
Olseth said.
How do you not know where they're coming from if there's that many in the damn water?
A witness recorded a cell phone video of a headless goat being tossed into the river off the I-20 bridge. The video shows the splash as the goat hits the water. Quote, "He actually hears the body splashing down, not only in the middle of the night, but he told me he hears them in the middle of the day," Olseth said. A lot of questions remain. These goats have to be coming from somewhere, but we haven't been able to determine who's buying the goats, who's providing the goats, or actually how they're making their way here into the river, Olseth said. In 2019, Channel 2 Action News did a story about people leaving dead chickens, goat heads, and coconuts near the railroad tracks in Metro Atlanta. Turns out it was part of a religious ceremony of the followers of Santeria, a religion that mixes West African culture with Cuban Catholicism. Channel 2 talked to a Shango priest in 2019. He says, "We use he-goats also, or as also a victory. Then we use she-goats for the baby and for also the blessing. That is the significance of all these animals that we used," said, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name right, Akinton Shingods Anjula.
Hell yeah, Shingod.
Shingods. Channel 2 reached out to three law enforcement agencies to see if they're investigating the hundreds of headless goats that are floating down the river. The Georgia State Patrol and the Fulton County Police told us that they didn't have any reports of headless goats floating down the river. But there's a video of headless goats floating down the river.
They're just like, nah.
We ain't dealing with that.
Yeah. We got bigger things to do, man. Yeah.
Channel 2 is still waiting for the results of an open records request from Cobb County Police. Olseth said he is concerned that the number of headless goats being dumped in the river is growing. Over the past couple of years, I've seen a couple hundred, but never more than 20 to 30 at one given time like we've started to see here lately. The decapitated goats are a public health danger, not just for people who fish or play in the Chattahoochee River, but for just about everyone in Metro Atlanta. Quote, "This is drinking water for 5 million people. We all have to do our part to take care of it. Some people treat the river as a jumping ground, throwing everything from tires to couches to flat screen TVs to headless goats in it. Olseth urges everyone to do their part and not throw anything into the water."
Definitely going to say there, you know, there's more going in the water than just headless goats.
Yeah. I wouldn't swim in the rivers around here and there aren't headless goats in it.
Yeah.
Just dead bodies and heroin needles.
True story.
Yeah. So wild, wild headless goat floats.
Yeah. It's definitely strange. I feel like, if I were local, I would want to look into that. Like, if I was the PD, I'd be like, oh, this is strange. We should probably get the goat decapitators and put them in jail.
Yeah, before headless people start floating around.
Yeah, yeah, because those types of people like progression.
Ritualistic animal sacrifice.
Slowly turn to
yes or true
sacrifice.
We're going to hit another cryptid here. This one doesn't have a name, but I named it because it's
good for you.
Terrifying. This comes from Phantoms and Monsters, Lon Strickler's website. Someone submitted this to him, and I'm calling it the Georgia Cackler.
Sounds gross.
It sucks. Here's a quote from the account. "It was all black, huge, limber, and humanoid, and it was crawling around on all fours.
Nope.
Scurrying around, ducking and diving behind the trees, maybe 15 feet in front of me in the darkness." Lon received the following account. Quote, "This happened 3 days after Halloween in 2024. So this is new. I live in Southwest Georgia, and my home backs up to a large forest. It was about 2 a.m., and I couldn't sleep. So I went on my back porch to read and smoke and just drink some tea. I was out there for maybe 30 minutes when I suddenly heard what sounded like something heavy falling or jumping from a tree and landing on the forest floor violently. I thought maybe a tree fell at first. Until right where I heard the noise come from, I immediately began hearing what sounded like something walking on all fours, something large. I immediately assume a bear. There's a fence directly in front of me, so I know I can dart inside before it can reach me. So I stay sat, curiously hopeful to see a bear. My eyes set diligently on the dark forest. Then for a split second, illuminated by my porch light, I can see a shadowy figure of whatever this thing is. It's not furry, it's not cute, and it's definitely not a bear. It was all black, huge, limber, and humanoid, crawling around on all fours. All I can think of is like the spider crawl from the Bigfoot.
Yeah. I hate the fact that they use the descriptive word of limber.
Yeah. Does yoga.
That's so gross.
It gets worse. It's scurrying around, ducking and diving behind the trees, maybe 15 feet in front of me in the darkness. And then the laughter begins. The best way to describe this laugh was like a stereotypical witch's laugh with some sort of uncanny animalistic distortion. It was cackling so loudly, so psychotically, so maniacally, almost as if it was mocking the most ridiculous human laugh I could think of. I thought, surely my neighbors are going to hear this and come outside at any moment. I was absolutely frozen in fear. I couldn't move. I didn't want to move. I thought that if I did, whatever it would chase me. So I sat frozen, staring back blankly at the forest that was mocking me. This laughing, staring match went on for 3 minutes. Finally, I found the courage to look down long enough to grab my phone and record a video with the flashlight. The moment the flashlight hit the trees, the laughter stopped, but the scurrying sound continued. Finally, I yelled, "Screw this," and ran inside. A week later, I was awake late again, this time in my bedroom, and I heard what sounded like human footsteps running around on my roof in circles. It lasted maybe 5 minutes. That was the last thing that happened, though. I moved to a new place in March. When I first arrived, items kept disappearing and reappearing, but that eventually stopped, too. George Cackler, broad.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
It's not good, bro.
Oh, Georgia's weird. I'm like, when I went down there this past summer, that place is fucking weird.
I'm not trying to deal with the cackler.
No. No.
And it's crazy that it was so new.
And it's, I hate anything that tries to mimic human sounds.
Yeah.
That's sus.
Yeah, I've never gotten the pleasure of hearing it, but I imagine it's extremely unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah. You're looking at something that isn't human and it's making semi-human noises. Sus.
Yeah. Especially if you came to the realization that it was mimicking you. That's not good.
And the fact that he used the term like mocking, like it knew that he knew that it wasn't human, but he was just still doing it.
Yeah, didn't care at all.
No.
Until you hit it with a flashlight, then it got scared.
Yeah, then it was like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're cheating.
We're not trying to be about that life.
Yeah.
I got one more here for you, Kyle. What time we got? We're on pretty good time. And it's a conspiracy, so I know it's going to be right up your alley.
Good deal.
So this is something I never heard before, but it's weird. And it's weird that I've found this in the time that are going on now, because shit's weird. So it's the Atlanta blackout conspiracy. On the evening of the 17th of December, 2017, a quote, apparent fire in the underground systems of Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, which is the busiest airport in America, would ground all flights for 11 hours. cause absolute chaos among airlines and their passengers, with over 1,000 flights affected. No planes would receive permission to land. No planes would receive permission clearing for takeoff. So flights canceled, absolute pandemonium, because it's right before Christmas. There are thousands and thousands of people moving in and out of this bitch. No planes permitted to land. No planes permitted to take off. We got that?
Mm-hmm.
That is except for one single private cargo plane, which for unknown reasons and unexplained reasons would land and take off from the shutdown airfield.
That's weird.
Weird. This specific incident soon became the subject of rampant discussions in international conspiracy forums and websites, or not international, internet. While the events are likely to be exactly as reported, there are some intriguing factors surrounding them. It's certainly intriguing enough to stay on the back burner of conspiracies theorists. So we're going to examine the most intriguing part of this case, and that is the mysterious aircraft. But first, let's look at the timeline of events that happened that afternoon in Atlanta, Georgia. It's one of the main hubs of American air travel. All planes grounded except one. Although reports didn't seem to come out until early the evening, problems appeared to begin shortly after noon when the power went down. This is according to accounts from those inside the facility, left passengers trapped in various departments and terminals, planes grounded, with some passengers even on board the planes. The general scenes was chaos, akin to a disaster movie. Even more confusing to some was why the apparent backup generators didn't kick on to handle what was only said to be a small fire to at least generate minimal activity to keep the airport operating, nor did any of the other numerous precautions. However, it would soon come to light that at least one plane did leave the airport during that episode. That plane, a Boeing 747-4X ICB, being utilized as, quote, a private cargo plane, had landed at the airport from Mexico City at around 1 p.m., which incidentally, or not, was the exact same time that the power problems began. According to the website Flight Radar 24, this mysterious plane took off from the locked down Atlanta airport at 6:27 p.m., right dead center of the lockdown, and its destination was Liège in Belgium. According to official reports at Hartford's Jackson International Airport, the first plane to leave the runway after the power surge was at 26 minutes after midnight on the 18th, a full 6 hours after the recorded takeoff of the private cargo plane. So on record, like on Flight Radar, this thing came in and left, but on record, it never did.
Obviously, there's some shady shit going on there.
It gets worse.
Well, of course it does. Every conspiracy has a nice little gets worse segment.
Yeah. According to official records of this particular plane, it belongs to an Israeli company, Cal Cargo Airlines, who operate out of Tel Aviv, Israel. They operate a total of 3 Boeing 747 jets, each of which transports and a variety of exotic and specialist cargo, which includes, quote, controlled pharmaceutical and healthcare problems, controlled pharmaceutical and healthcare products, live animals, dangerous goods, and oversized and overweight cargo. What's more is this specific company has, quote, customs clearance, which allows it, quote, the ability to load and unload trucks without the presence of custom agents. This allows them to overcome any challenges and delays for critical time-sensitive shipments. This also means that Cal Cargo Airlines know exactly what they're moving, when, and where. And because it's a private company, it isn't subject to any Freedom of Information Acts. Essentially, they can move whatever they want, whenever they want, and not have to tell anybody about it or get it checked out.
That sounds about right.
I didn't even realize custom, like, private companies can get custom clearance where customs don't even, like, we're just going to send it.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really, really bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. There's some protocols.
And for a little more money, we'll just turn a blind eye on whatever you guys got on there. It's no big deal.
And what possibly, think about what could have been on that plane that they had to shut the entire fucking airport down. The busiest airport in the United States. Bonkers, bud.
Did it get shut down when the plane landed? Or was in the vicinity?
Yeah. They said the problem started at 12 and the power went down at 1, and that plane, according to radar, landed at 1.
Say, it almost makes you wonder if, because it initially made me think, like, what if it had some type of weapon on there that EMP. Was like an EMP that was capable of shutting things down? It was like a test run.
A lot of people think that. Records showed that the plane did indeed land at Liege before stopping at Larnaca, Cyprus, eventually landing in Tel Aviv. What the cargo was still remains unknown to this day. Many theorize that the plane was carrying weapons, perhaps even nuclear weapons. They would point to the covert nature of the company and then its ties to Israel and the increasing tensions and bloodshed there. That was 2017, so now things are kind of all come together.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good.
Things kind of all coming together.
It's not looking good.
There are some other kind of reports about the cargo possibly being tied to the Red Heifer prophecy.
Okay, yeah.
In Israel. Because in 2017, right before this, one was born, but it didn't pass the pristine test. It eventually started like growing white hair, so it didn't pass the prophecy test. Not long after, keep in mind this is December of 2018, not long after, there were reports of one being born in the fall of 2018, which... I don't know how long a cow is in cow mode, pregnancy mode, but it could line up pretty fucking close. Because September 10th, 2018, here from the Sun UK, a Bible prophecy predicting the end of days is feared to come after the first, quote, red heifer in 2,000 years was born in Israel. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem announced that the calf's birth on YouTube, saying that it would undergo extensive examination to determine if it's truly red all over. If the female baby cow is found to be blemish-free, the Institute will declare that the calf, quote, brings the promise of reinstating biblical purity to the world. In both Christian and Judaism, the red heifer is central to the prediction of the, quote, end of times. After sacrificing the red cow, construction can begin on the third temple in Jerusalem. The Temple Institute and other groups worldwide were set up with the goal of building the third temple on Mount Moriah, however you say it, or the Temple Mount. There was something else in here that I wanted to read. Some theologians say the building of the third temple is linked to judgment day and end of time events. This apocalyptic event will bring what Christians call the rapture, where all Christian believers living and dead will rise to join Christ in the sky. Let me look. After its birth, the calf has to be examined extensively by a rabbinical experts who confirm if she is a viable candidate for the biblical red heifer. The Temple Institute, there's a thing called the Temple Institute, founded, quote, Raise a Red Heifer in Israel program 3 years ago. So they are trying to
usher in the end times.
Usher in the prophecy.
That's good. The way you worded it sounded like earlier that they were aiming for a genocide at the bare minimum.
They have since hoped to breed a perfectly red cow with imported frozen embryos of red Angus cows that are implanted into domestic cows.
Hell yeah. They're just running and gunning for the end times.
It's crazy. So it could very well.
Current times. It's a little ironic there.
Yeah. I thought when I found that, I was like, holy shit. There was another one born in 2022. Possibility of raising red heifer in the year 2017, which is the same year a red calf was born in the village from the insemination of an Israeli heifer with the sperm of a bull from America. So could there have been some bull juice on said plane, and it was so important to get it through at that time that they shut down the busiest airport in America?
I don't know. Either way, it's extremely sussy that they had to shut down an airport and a plane lands and then takes off. That by itself is weird. The fact that it could be tied to this is even stranger, and not good that there's groups of people out there trying to usher in the end times, doing everything within their power to make that happen.
Yeah, you can visit the Temple Institute's website. That's where I read that last little bit from. They had
it's not a shady name at all.
No, not at all. They had another red heifer born in 2022. They are actively trying to bring in the rapture.
Hell yeah. It's a smart play.
It's just wild to me that they let this plane, like hundreds of thousands of people were left stranded. 1,000 flights affected. You're talking about, think about how many hundreds of thousands of people got affected.
That's crazy.
And this thing just flies in and flies out. They're like, yeah, yep, send
no
it.
No problem.
No custom checks.
They got custom pass, bro. They just like skip into the front of the line.
I didn't even know that existed.
Roller coaster park.
I didn't even know that existed, which sucks even worse that now I know it does. So there's countries flying shit in and out of here, and we don't even got to look for it. But we try to send a package to Australia and it's stuck in customs for fucking 8 goddamn weeks.
Right.
How do we get a customs pass?
Well, you got to be probably a little bit more powerful than...
You got to be milking bulls.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Yeah, same.
So, no custom pass for us.
No, you ain't getting that on the Hollis Guy website. That's not for sale.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
But... that being said, that's what we got for today's 40 and 50. Georgia did not disappoint. What a weird place. Full of cryptids and bull semen and just airport shutting down.
Fucking velociraptors.
Velociraptors.
All types of shit.
Yeah. Wild work, Georgia. Leave us some comments everywhere where you comment stuff. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Any of you Georgia weirdos seen any weird stuff, let us know. Until we meet again, check us out all our socials and stay safe, stay weird, and just let us know how to get one of them custom passes.